Luke 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. One preacher I heard preach years ago on this text, and he called the message, 2 fools and a henpecked husband. It's pretty appropriate, I guess, but verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, I think that we all have read this text enough that we were familiar with the spiritual application here, that the great Lord of the supper is the Lord himself. And the supper that's been provided and prepared and that is ready is a place of salvation. The provision of the Lord for salvation is now ready. But the Bible says that he had sent out a general invitation. Whosoever will, come. And the Bible says that he bade many. It was an invitation to many. And sent out his servants. The servants, of course, that's the church, by the Spirit of God. The believer, just anointed of the Spirit of God. He goes out as he has been commanded of the Lord. And to go out, he sent his servant at supper time to say, Come, for all things are now ready. All things are now ready. I think that, you know, we're all pretty well aware of the fact that we are living in a time right now that's unlike any other time that I ever remember. Things are happening that I just don't ever remember happening. I lived in Oklahoma, was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and lived there for many, many years, and never remember an earthquake in Oklahoma, let alone 3 or 4 of them of a major magnitude. That one of them was in the middle of the night that woke people up. Another one was early in the evening that was 5 point something on the Richter that went for a minute and just shook everything. And my mom told me about that you know, the fearful thing when your house is just shaking for a minute. And who would have ever thought that something like that would take place in an unlikely place in the country? But we know that there are a lot of unlikely things that are happening and changes that are being made in our world, in our country. And we are at a time when there has to be a newfound urgency. And I believe that this message that was sent out by the Master, by the Lord, who had prepared this wonderful salvation, that there was an urgency. He had bade many, and now he sends them out to go and to bid them to come to the feast. The heartbreaking thing about this story were these 2 foolish men and the 1 married man. These 3 who, the Bible says, they all with one consent. It was like a premeditated thing. It was predetermined. They already knew of the provision. They already knew the supper was ready, had already heard of the invitation that they were welcome to come, but beforehand they had determined, we're not going to go. They had before determined. Now, I have thought about this a lot over the past few years because we have done a lot of things to reach out to people. And I know that for a period of maybe 2 years that we were meeting every week and we were sending out postcards and making phone calls to people. And I remember that most of the time, not always, we would catch a visitor that would come and we would send them a welcome to the service. But a lot of the cards that were sent to the same people week after week after week after week. And it's not that we're to give up on them. I'm not suggesting that we give up on those that we're trying to welcome them and we're praying for them to get saved. We don't give up on them, but we need to understand that the call of God is much bigger than just the few that we have in our little world that we live in. The call of God is much bigger than just those in the sphere of our own contacts, personal contacts and personal involvement with them. There is this urgency because they all with one consent. It's like that there is this, they have previously determined, we're not interested. We don't want it. We don't want to go. We're not interested in what has been provided. And I have to tell you that there are a lot of people who have sat on the pews of churches over the years and have walked away. And when you talk to them, it's obvious they really have other things to do. They're too busy. Or they've got other plans or other things on their mind. They're not really all that interested in spiritual things. They all with one consent begin to make an excuse. The first excuse had to do with his possessions. The second excuse had to do with his business. The third excuse had to do with his family, his marriage. It really doesn't matter what it is. Because, you know, to me, a reason and an excuse are two different things. An excuse is just beforehand, already determined, trying a way to go a direction and not take heed or not listen, not take the counsel or to receive the invitation. That's what was going on here. These were people that knew what they should do and knew the provision that was made for them, and they rejected that. And one of the most serious of statements in the scripture is that last verse that I read tonight from verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. None of them. None of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, again, I'm not saying give up, quit praying for your loved ones. I don't mean that we should lose our burden for our families or our loved ones. We should. But here's what the Lord of this great supper did. The Bible says that he was angry. The word means that he was exasperated. He was provoked. And as a result of that, he says to the verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. All of these people, he says to them, go out and find these people that by a one-word description of all these people is great need. Need. Such need. Go out and find those who are in need. Amen. And those that are in need are often the ones who will respond. And many times, the ones that your family and your loved ones, that you're concerned that they be saved, God can arrange circumstances in their life. And he can bring them to a place of their need. And that's our prayer. But people will respond to the gospel if they have needs. And that's what the Lord of this great supper is now telling them to do. Go out. Go out. He says, go out quickly. There's an urgency here. Go out quickly. Now. Don't wait. Don't delay. Go out to these that have great need. Amen. And the urgency of this call, I think that we all need to take it to heart here tonight and realize that there are people who are described here and people that you probably haven't given much thought to. After I heard the message from Johnny Erickson, I began to think, Lord, I don't know people like that. People like that are not in my life. They're not in my world. I know people that have needs, but you know, I don't know people that are in extreme poverty. I don't know people that have, but you know, the more that I went through that, thinking about it, meditating on it, praying about it, more people came to my mind that are in need like this. People that are legitimately in need physically, in need financially. The word, it was interesting as I went through this verse and looked at these words. The word poor means someone that is crouching or cringing, distressed, cowed down by the situation that they are in, of their poverty. Now, I know that there may not be a lot of people that you're acquainted with like this, but there are people in our community and in London Law County area that they are up against it. They're up against it. They are in great need as far as their financial situation is concerned. Then the word, those that are maimed, those that are handicapped, those that are crippled, people that have great need. You know, we've after long, many years, we are now handicapped accessible in our restrooms. Praise God for that. The question is, are we handicapped accessible in our church? Do we have room for people that have all kinds of needs? And are we willing to welcome people in and to bless them and to pray for them and to help them? Amen. The more I thought when I went through this text, I thought, I just don't know of many people that are in this predicament, that I came up with 5 or 6 people that I knew that I know them, and I know that they're in wheelchairs now. They're handicapped. They're maimed. They're in such need, and the obstacles are great for them to get to God and to get to the house of God, and they have to overcome so much just to go out in public. I believe that's the call of God: go out to people who are poor, people who have great needs, the maimed, the lame, the halt, those that are physically deformed or handicapped, or those that are blind, literally, physically and spiritually blinded. All of these people in their need. That's what he said, go out and get those. You know, we've experienced this here at the church over the many years with the bus ministry, that a lot of people say, well, the day of the bus ministry is over with. The reality is this, the bus ministry was just a mechanism. It was just a vehicle that caused people to go regularly, number one, to go out to where people were, if they were in the highways and the hedges or wherever they might have been, to go to them. And many times, if you've worked the bus ministry very much, you know that you could go up to a big fine $250,000 home, and your chances of getting somebody to ride the bus from that house is almost nil. But you also you know that you could go into some area of the county where it was looked more like an area where people were poor and poverty stricken and a lot of needs, and sometimes the homes were in great disrepair and lots of need that was there. And after a while, you begin to develop an eye for people that were in need, and you would go to them, and they're the people that would respond. They were the ones that would respond. And so if you've got 2 or 3 or 4 buses and teams that are going out into the highways and the hedges, you know what you're bringing in? You're bringing in a lot of people that are in need. A lot of people. And so it helped us, I think, to keep our focus, just not on our own group here. It helped us to focus upon people who were in need. And I remember many times children getting off the buses in freezing cold weather and getting off, and they didn't have They didn't have the clothes on they needed. They froze me to death just looking at these little kids. They'd come in with t-shirts on and in 20-degree weather, and we'd try to find coats and jackets for them. We were actively involved in trying to minister to people in their need. And I think that's biblical. I really do. And I think it's something that it does something not only for these people that are in need, but it also, it causes the church to begin to see people in their need. Amen. Amen. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. You see, the call of the Lord here was bring them in. I've invited many. I want them all to come in. I want my house to be filled. He wanted it to be filled. And even if it was filled up with people who had such great need, that their heart would be open to the gospel and that they would receive the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's not get too comfortable. Let's not get too at ease. And let's certainly not get uncomfortable when they walk in the door and they don't smell just right, and you wonder, who are they? Are they going to hurt somebody? Are they going to do something? Instead of having that type of an attitude toward people in their need, when they come in to the services and it's obvious that they're people in need, just be reminded of the fact that the Lord sent out an invitation for those kind of people. Amen. Those kind of people in their need, those kind of people in their poverty, those kind of people in their handicap, in their physical need, and even their physical deformity and all the circumstances of their life. Several times Sandy Carol apologized to me about her mother, who would in the middle of the service back here, she would just sing or she would say things out in the service. Just because of the disease that has affected her. And I always felt like, and I still feel like, that when somebody has a praise on their heart to the Lord in that condition, we need to have an understanding, open heart to people in their need. And be grateful for these people who come in their need, whatever that the circumstance is, whatever poverty or trouble that they are in. And we talked about this Sunday morning a little bit in Sunday school class, because there are some people that are so easy to love and there are other people that are so easy to not love. It's true. It's very hard for me to think of people, you know, depraved people in wicked, evil, sinful lifestyles coming in to the church, but that's the ones he died for, just like he did for you and me. It's hard for us to think about people, you know, to think, well, now you can go online and you can look to see if the child, abusers in the community, you can look at the registry online and see their pictures and see where they live to make sure that they don't live in your area or near a school or near, and they're because of the horribleness of their sin, they have been publicly humiliated. And I understand you don't put your people at risk, but at the same time, people are lost and they're messed up in their sin. Their life is just a wreck. They don't have any hope. They're going to die without any hope, and their only hope is you and me. Their only hope. And there go I, there go you, except for the grace of God. We've been right in the same wickedness and the same sinfulness if it hadn't been for the mercy and the love of God that came our way. And we're to be the vehicle to people that are messed up. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Those that are lame and those that are handicapped and those that, you know, really some of the greatest experiences. I know I've heard Brother Huff tell different stories about different children that came in that were even mentally handicapped, and some of the things that they did in the services, and he's told those stories all over the country about what they do. There's just something that is added to it, to a church, whenever there's people of all different kinds of needs that start coming in. And really, I just wanted to challenge you, because we don't need to be comfortable with our little group here. We don't. We need to be compassionate, and we need to be concerned. And when the Lord leads you and brings you face to face with somebody that's really messed up and really in need, reach out to them. Talk to them. Show the love of God to them. They don't deserve it, and neither do you. But show love. Amen. Give to them. Bless them. And share the love of God. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. All of those who are in need. The Lord of the servant said, "The Lord, it is as thou hast done, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them." The highways and the hedges were the areas that were far away places. And I don't mean necessarily mission fields, but it was like the deepest rural areas. You know, I'm talking about down the trail and up the holler. Those kind of people. And we've done that over the years. We've done that. I remember when we lived here before, and I was on one of the bus routes that went out in East Bernstead. I started off with Carl Hacker. He showed me all the different areas, and he was kind of in his semi-retirement from bus ministry, moving out to pastor. And I was taking over his bus route. I remember one place we stopped. And remember, I was from Oklahoma, pretty much flat country. And one place we stopped, and there was this huge ravine. I didn't even see it, but there was a pathway that ran down the ravine and back up the other side of the hill, and there was a little house over there. And Brother Carl would get out of there and yell at those people until finally somebody would open the door over the holler and come out. And then those little children, they'd come scampering out the door and down the ravine, down the path, and back up on the bus. I never seen anything like that before. People in need. People in need. Oh, the gospel seeds that have been sown in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boys and girls and young people over the years through the ministry of that outreach. Thank God for it. Amen. Whether it be bus ministry or whatever vehicle it is that God uses, we need to be actively involved in reaching people in the highways and the hedges. Amen. Far away places. One place, now I wouldn't go up there now. I've been there one time in the last maybe 10 years. Well, it's the biggest drug place now in the entire county. Star Hill down there in East Bernstein. You go there now. But I remember that we would have to, Brother Tom Carpenter would literally have to back the bus way down the road because there was no place to turn around at the end of the road. He would back and back and back, and we'd back all the way up in there. And one morning, when I went to the door, someone yelled, "Come on in!" And I opened the door and kind of stepped in. The kids were scamping around in there trying to get find their clothes, looking under the beds in different places, trying to find their shoes. The mom and dad were still in the bed, and they're the ones that said, "Come on in." So I was in there. I was in there with them trying to help them, putting socks on and jackets on, and it was a mess in that place. It was terrible. It smelled terrible. It was just a bad place. Those little kids got on the bus. I don't know how long they come, but for weeks, maybe months, I don't know. But I do know this much. The gospel seed was sown in their heart. Praise God. Amen. And it hasn't changed in 20 years. There's still people all over this community, all over this county. People out there that are in such need. Amen. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them. The word means literally plead with them. Plead with them. Beg them to come in. Plead with them. Go out and plead with them to come in, that my house may be filled. Amen. Amen. What a task. What a call. But it's what we've been called to do. Reach some with the message of the gospel, especially those that are in great need. I believe that's the last day harvest field. When you find someone that has a great need, understand that their heart is already open to the gospel. they can be helped. Amen. If they're like these others, their heart is filled with their possessions and their business and their family, and they can't think about anything else, then they would rather do all those things their life was consumed with, and they have no room for the gospel. But there are those that need the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it says go out quickly. That means between now and Sunday. Amen. Find some poor person. Pray about it. Lord, would you send someone into my life? Send some person that's really in need. Help me to cross their path. That's a dangerous prayer to pray, because the Lord will answer it. You'll come across that person that's really in need. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to live outside and to go outside of the area of our comfort, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see the need, and Lord, and to bring them in, to plead with them, to bring them in, Lord. People with all kinds of needs, bring them in to the house of the Lord. Bring them in that they might have their needs met, especially, Lord, that their heart might be changed, that their soul might be affected for all of eternity by the power of the gospel. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, help us to see beyond our world, our lives, our daily experiences, and help us to see people, Lord, the way you see them, to see people in their need, to go out quickly, to go to the highways and the hedges, to go to people in their need. Whatever it is, whatever their handicap, whatever their weakness, whatever their need, bring them in. Bring them in, Lord, that their lives could be affected for the cause of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. When I say invite someone, I don't mean just go out to the fence and invite your neighbor. That's a good thing to do. I'm talking about other people. You've never seen them before, but the Lord brings you face to face with someone in big need. That's your cue. Amen. Pour out to love them, to care for them. Praise the Lord. Let's go out quickly. Let's reach as many as we can. Let's fill up the house of God with needy people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus.